Many of us have become very familiar with the term oppression, especially, it seems, over the last few years. It's become a very vogue term as it relates to matters of social justice, and there are a lot of people, even in the media, who use this term oppression to describe minority groups and different racial groups or cultural subgroups and the way that they are treated systematically or systemically. And this word is used to describe that abuse, that mistreatment, that prejudice that some people face. And in truth, the Bible uses the word this way. Did you know that? Psalm number 9 and verse 9. The Bible says this: the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And if you study the biblical use of this word in the context in which it's found many times, even going back to Moses' law in the Pentateuch, it describes the treatment of people who are poor, who are weaker, who are lower, etc., that are often mistreated and taken advantage of by those who are richer, stronger, and higher, etc. The Bible specifically deals with those who are widows, who are orphans. The Bible deals with the poor of the land. The Bible speaks of the strangers of the land and commands God's people not to mistreat, not to lord power over them in an unjust way because they're weaker, they're poorer, they're on a lower social scale because they're strangers in the land. The Bible speaks about those who cannot stand up for and speak for themselves, that they are not to be oppressed. This original Hebrew word translated oppressed literally means those who are crushed or injured. And to engage in or to make room for this kind of oppression is sinful. In fact, in Proverbs, where the Bible speaks about those who can't speak for themselves, who can't stand up for themselves, the Bible commands those of us who can to speak for them, to stand up for them. We are not to engage in oppression of this type. We are also not even to make room for it. To do so is sinful. And to be one who is oppressed is distressing in the most extreme way. But that's not the whole gist of the message this morning. Because there's another use of this word that makes it more personal to many of us and is evident in our text found in Luke 13. Oppression can simply mean to be weighed upon spiritually or mentally. Another dictionary defines it, burdened psychologically or mentally. In this case, as within the context of the passage we will look at now, oppression impacts all of us at different times. Watch how this happens as we consider Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Follow along as I read. The Bible declares, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto him, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I want to preach a message to you entitled this morning, "Oppression Meets Its Match." Let's pray and ask God to help us today. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into the Word of God. And Lord, I pray today that you would use the Word to speak to our hearts, to minister to our souls, our spirits, our minds, to impact us in a way that is life-changing. That's what you want to do every time we gather, is transform us even more into the image of Jesus. And I pray you would do that today. And for the one that is here, the one who's watching or listening by way of the internet, who does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray today you would use the message to draw them. May the Holy Spirit of God do His work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Jesus, the Bible tells us there in verse number 10, it's just a transitional verse. He's traveling on his way to Jerusalem at a leisurely pace. As he does so, he's stopping in different towns and villages to preach the word of God. And as he does so this particular day, in this synagogue, as he teaches, is this pitiful woman. Look at the language used to describe her. We find in verse number 11, the Bible says she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. The idea here is a spirit that caused feebleness, weakness, a disease that was going on for 18 years. The Bible goes on to say she was bowed together, unable to lift up herself. There are those who suggest that this woman suffered from a condition called ankylosing spondylitis, and this is a condition of the spine where over time the vertebrae of the spine begin to fuse together, and it causes the spine to become more rigid and to actually curve in very unusual and very not good feeling ways, in ways that create pain, that create lifelong hardship. You will see some people who have this condition where the top of the spine actually begins to curve forward to where their head, their neck, and the top of their backs is actually curved out to where they are literally staring at the floor, unable to lift up their heads to look about as normal. And that is very possibly what this woman suffered from. And so when the Bible says she was bowed together, unable to lift up herself, it gives us that picture of this woman who is hunched over in a way she cannot look up and see others. She is hunched over, literally staring at the ground at all times. But then Jesus specifically identified the satanic role in her situation in verse number 16. As he's speaking to the rabbi of the synagogue, he says, that Satan had bound this woman. And so there is a spiritual, a demonic, a satanic characteristic of this woman's condition. She experienced oppression. Can you imagine her experience? Think about the different ways that she experienced oppression, remembering that it can simply have the idea of being weighed down spiritually or mentally, being burdened psychologically, mentally. If you will, consider the source and or symptoms of oppression and begin to relate this to your life, because if you can, you can put yourself in this woman's place. Maybe not in the same physical sense, but you can begin to think about the source of and the symptoms of oppression that she experienced and see connections, relations to your own life. In what ways did she experience oppression? Well, very clearly, she experienced physical oppression, physical pain, sickness, and disease, be it acute or chronic, can burden people greatly. One of the deepest and darkest times of my life involved sickness and ongoing pain. And perhaps you too can relate to that experience. Times where it may just have been a common sickness that you have for a while and get over, but it really weighed you down. It burned you. Maybe for you it's been an acute or a chronic bout with pain that could or could not be explained. Maybe for you it's been a disease that you've carried with you for many years that has burned you, that has been oppressive in your life. Recently, I had the opportunity to converse with an elderly believer in Jesus who is facing her imminent death because of disease. And I thought it was very profound something she said to me. She said these words, "I do not fear death. I fear the dying process." Not knowing how exactly it would look, not knowing exactly how it would come about or how long she would endure, or how much pain she would face and the grief that would be experienced as she looked toward that. And I think we can all relate to that type of idea as believers in Jesus Christ. We may say we don't fear death, but perhaps you're even in a situation like that where you've been diagnosed with something that is terminal. And you think, I don't fear death. I know where I'm going, but I fear the process, the valley of the shadow that I have to walk through. Physical sources and symptoms can be and often are oppressive. Think about a second source or symptom: mental and emotional oppression. Physical oppression can lead to this, and certainly it did for the woman in our text. Can you imagine this woman having this infirmity that went on for how long? 18 years. Whatever the condition was, it was painful. Whether it was the condition we mentioned earlier or some other condition that would cause her to structurally hump over in such a way where she could not lift up herself would be a painful experience. And that painful experience, that chronic pain and hardship, as is often true for many people, leads to mental and emotional oppression. Dealing with it in your mind and your feelings regularly. Have you ever experienced physical pain, sickness, or disease that led to or exasperated mental and emotional challenges? just attacked and preyed upon your mind and your thoughts, causing you to distress and despair? Again, I experienced this. When ongoing sickness and praying oppressed me, I found that it also exasperated a period of depression in my life. And that made it even more difficult and actually lasted longer and became a greater burden than even the physical pain and sickness. And perhaps you've experienced that as well. Several months ago, I shared in a message about an elderly Christian man who had been given a terminal diagnosis of cancer that I've had the privilege of interacting with. Even after being given a terminal diagnosis of cancer, he's in his late 80s and experiencing pain and the difficulty caused by it. He continued to be faithful to church. He continued to be faithful to his Bible study group, his work in Alcoholics Anonymous that God used in his life at an earlier time and used to bring him to Christ. And he's used it as an opportunity to be a testimony for Jesus to others. But as the months have passed, his symptoms have progressed, his pain has become more intense and frequent. And he shared with me that he started experiencing anxiety about his approaching death. He shared with me he knows his eternity is sure, but he's anxious about the process, the path he's walking, and already experiencing a grief process even before the passing, because as he shared with me, he's thinking more and more, especially about the loss of relationship with his spouse of 66 years. The physical disease has exasperated the mental and emotional pain and depression. And these are normal experiences that some of us know. You know, don't you? You've got the common cold. Does it make you feel worse? And I don't just mean physically. Do you find yourself struggling with your thoughts? Things that irritate and annoy you do so on a higher level? When you've got a headache, let me bring my 5 kids to spend the day with you and see if it's not more aggravating to you than it normally would be. Those are simple, silly examples. Now multiply that exponentially when you're talking about something like what this woman faced. Things that are more challenging like you faced in your life. But I want you to understand something else. That I think there have been times the church as a whole has been guilty of not approaching a proper way. It is possible and normal to experience mental and emotional distress separate from any physical pain, sickness, or disease. You and I can go through periods in our lives where we struggle with things like anxiety, depression, intrusive thoughts, and other forms of even what we would call, what the world may call, mental illness or disease that is not connected necessarily to a physical sickness, a pain or a disease that you're experiencing that's just adding to the stress. And I'm afraid too often the church has been guilty of always attributing mental and emotional difficulties to sin in life or to just a need to get closer to Jesus, when the reality is there are times when these things are simply evidence of life in a broken world. Just like you can experience physical pain, physical sickness, physical disease, it is possible to experience mental distress, things that prey upon your mind, your emotions. It's possible, and you can. And by the way, for those of you who know that experience, you're not unusual or strange if you have those experiences. They are normal parts of life in a broken world that is touched by sin. And in case you've not seen it, the Bible is pretty clear that sin touches what part of God's creation? Every part. So there's physical oppression, there's mental, emotional. I want you to see, thirdly, and it's here in this text, isn't it? Social oppression. We hear a lot about this in the media, a lot about it, often from the extremes, those extremists on the right and on the left. But there is truth to and such a thing as social oppression. God's people were guilty of social oppression at different times in their history. And we see it come out here in the text. How do we see it come out here in the text? Notice verse number 14, if you would. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. In making this statement, he made it generally to the crowd, but he was doing a couple of things. Number one, he was accusing Jesus of breaking God's law. Number two, he was criticizing this woman for bringing her sick self to the synagogue on the day Jesus was there. You would think that a miraculous healing would be cause for rejoicing by everyone who witnessed it and heard of it. And yet, one who actively witnessed the miracle maligned the healer, the healed, and anyone else who would even dare to consider coming to Jesus on the Sabbath day. By the way, this woman for 18 years had probably experienced forms of social ostracism because of her condition. And now she experienced criticism at being healed. Then I want you to see, fourthly, spiritual oppression. And can I remind you that sometimes spiritual oppression is not the result of direct individual sin either. There are times where you and I go through spiritual difficulty because we have done, said, or thought a way that has displeased God. We've committed sin, and because of that, we go through a time of spiritual distress. The Lord is faithful to lovingly chastise and scourge his children, to exercise them unto righteousness and the fruit thereof. Hebrews 11 makes this clear. But listen to me very carefully. It is possible to experience spiritual oppression that is not the result of individual direct sin. What did Jesus say about this woman? What was the root of her infirmity for 18 years? What was it? Satan, right? Jesus told that rabbi, how dare you? You hypocrite! Even you will loose your ox or your ass on the Sabbath day to let it go get water. Here is a woman, which is a lot more important than your ox or your ass, made in the image of God, whom Satan hath bound for 18 years. She was experiencing spiritual oppression. And there's no indication in this text that it was because she had sinned in some way and God was punishing her. No. Instead, it was because of Satan's direct individual attention. For some reason, Satan put his crosshairs on her and shot his fiery darts at her, and they hit their marks and left scars. For 18 years, she continued to bear them. friends, this can happen in your life. It may not be because of some individual direct sin of yours that you experience spiritual depression. It may simply be that Satan pays you his direct personal attention. He puts his crosshairs on you and he fires his fiery darts, and sometimes they hit their mark. And when they do, they injure and may leave scars. But I want you to see some things that were true about this woman in the midst of that spiritual oppression. Would you notice that she still went to the synagogue? Why is that important? It's important because for the Jew, this was the place of regular public worship and hearing the reading and interpretation of the Word of God for the Jew. This is where they went to worship God corporately. This is where they went to hear the Word of God read and taught. This was their church. This was their place to gather together with other believers to worship God and hear from His Word. This woman experiencing physical, mental, and emotional, social, and even spiritual oppression for 18 years was still faithful to the synagogue. What's the point, Pastor? The point is, when you're going through oppression of any kind, keep faithful to the house of God. Keep faithful to the place of corporate worship, to the place where the Word of God is read and taught. Because it will continue to help you, even if for a period of time it doesn't seem like it is. I wonder, don't you, had that woman not been at the synagogue that day, would she have experienced healing? I don't know the answer to that question, but she was in that place when Jesus saw her and moved to meet her need. But I want you to see in relation to that, this woman evidently did not seek Jesus or ask him to heal her. Do you catch that in the text? Often when Jesus is healing people, people are coming to him. The blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside. He hears that Jesus and his disciples are coming. And at this point, everyone in Israel knows who Jesus is. And he's crying out, "Thou Son of David, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And people are telling him, "Shut up. Be quiet. Don't interrupt him. Don't bother him." And he cries out the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The lepers come to Jesus and ask to be healed. We see this over and over and over again. The woman's there in the synagogue. There's no indication that she is coming for healing. But notice what the text says. Verse number 12. And when Jesus, what? Saw her. He called her to him and said, I don't know this to be the case, but I think the evidence of the text reveals this. This woman certainly knew who Jesus was. I don't think there's any way she could not have at this point in Jesus' ministry. Everyone in Israel knew who Jesus was. But I have to think, after 18 years of bearing this infirmity, this woman had lost hope. She's not crying out to Jesus to heal her. Perhaps for a time she's prayed to God for healing. Perhaps, like the woman with the issue of blood 12 years who went to every doctor, she had spent all her living. But the woman with the issue of blood 12 years heard Jesus was there and interrupted him on his way to Jairus' house to touch him so she could be healed. This woman, we don't see any of that. But friend, listen to me very carefully. Jesus still saw her. Jesus knew her situation completely, and she was cared for by Jesus. And maybe you're in a place in your life, you've experienced depression, And it's gone on and on. And maybe you've come to the place where you think nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody cares. Just as this woman was known, seen, and cared for by Jesus, you are known, seen, and cared for by Jesus. If you would, secondly, notice the span of oppression. When you consider oppression in these terms from this example, it becomes clear, doesn't it, that everyone experiences oppression. Right? Everyone experiences physical oppression at some time. Everyone experiences mental, emotional oppression. Everyone experiences spiritual oppression. Can you identify with this woman in our text in some way? If you can, you could say, yeah, I've experienced oppression in that way. I've experienced oppression in that way. Or maybe even some combination of these, as most experiences of oppression include some form of combination. If you go through some type of physical sickness, pain, disease for any length of time, it will often start to work on your mental and emotional, your thoughts, your feelings, and even those things can then begin to affect you spiritually. Have you ever found that when you're not feeling well, you feel a little more distant from God? How many of you in times of sickness or pain have cried out to God, begging for Him to see you, to hear you, to help you, and felt like, man, what did I do wrong? God, what did I do to deserve this? And so we all experience oppression. But then I want you to see, finally, thirdly, the Savior of oppression. This woman had experienced this oppression for 18 years. And what did it take? Look at verse 12 and 13 again. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. The physical oppression, gone. And with it, the mental and emotional toll that it would have levied on her. Jesus, knowing Satan had bound her for 18 years, that spiritual oppression, all of it was gone in an instant when Jesus spoke and laid his hands on her. The reality that I want you to understand this morning is that issues of oppression can be complex and involved. When you're experiencing oppression, you may not even know yourself all the components at play. I want you to think about it for a moment. When you're experiencing especially, physical pain, you may be in a situation where because of whatever it is you're experiencing, you go to the doctor. And if you're like the rest of us, you want to walk into the doctor's office, be there for 5 minutes, and walk out with all the answers. Am I right? You don't want to have any tests. You want to be able to tell the doctor, here's what's going on, and hear from the doctor, oh, this is what it is. How often does that happen? I know what you're thinking. I don't get into the doctor's office in 5 minutes, so never. And what happens? Sometimes you leave with more questions than answers. When you're experiencing mental and emotional oppression, you may know, I feel down. I feel distressed. I feel very sad. And I can't really explain why. I'm having all these intrusive thoughts, these thoughts such as, maybe it's for you at times, you know, you're not really saved. You're not really a child of God. You're a horrible person. You're a failure. You'll never get over that, whatever it is for you. And you're experiencing intrusive thoughts like these at a particular time in your life, and it's just attacking over and over and over again. And you may go through those types of experiences and think, well, I know this is happening and I know this is how I'm feeling, but I can't even explain why. I don't even understand it completely. That's not unusual. These issues are often complex and very involved, and include a variety of things going on. And this is not meant to be an oversimplification of your situation, but it is simply the truth. Jesus is the answer. Depending on your experience with oppression, you may need medicine. You may need a counselor. You may need an advocate. You may need a mentor. You may need an advisor. You may need a treatment. I'm not denying that those needs may be present in your situation of oppression. However, I am saying this: other things may help you. Only Jesus can heal you. Other things may be part of the answer, but Jesus must be in the answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you need some medicine. Maybe you need a counselor. Maybe you need an advocate. Maybe you need treatment. Maybe you need these different things. And all of these things can help you, but only Jesus can heal you. Other things may be part of the answer to what you're facing, but if you take all of those things and leave out Jesus, your answer is incomplete. Jesus has to be in the answer. You may be experiencing oppression right now. It's dark, lonely, confusing, painful, depressing, and we could describe it many more ways. You need help. Though there may be various parts to the help you need, you definitely need God's help. And I return to the text we started with. Psalm 9:9. Listen to what it says. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. What is a refuge? A refuge is what you resort to when you are in need of defense, shelter, and help. When you experience oppression, resort to God. There may be other things that can come along and be part of the help that you need, but you need God. Resort to Him. Psalm 46:1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so what is the response of the people of God? Therefore will not we fear. If you know the experience of oppression, oppression has met its match. You don't have to be overcome and overwhelmed by it in your life. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. Do you know Him today? Maybe today, the response that you need to have to this message is to come to Jesus as the refuge and anchor of your soul. He's the only one who can deal with the ultimate spiritual problem, which is the fact that we are all sinners condemned in our sin before a holy and a just God, condemned to an eternity separate from God in hell. God sent his son Jesus to be the answer. He is the remedy. Believe on him and be saved. And if you're a child of God, that is not a blanket to shield you from oppression. You and I can still experience and face oppression in our lives, and we often do. Jesus is the answer. Maybe your situation's very complex and you need some other forms of help. That's fine. But remember, other things can help. Only Jesus can heal. Other things may be part of the answer. Jesus must be in the answer. And so in the midst of seeking for the other help that you may need, don't forget to resort to God. He is a refuge for all the oppressed.